Thank you, Diana. And thank you, Skit Team, for... I love all the giftings and abilities that we have in this church and the ability to also allow people to use their gifts. Because we can have gifts, but if they're never shown or given an opportunity, what good are they? Right? And church just isn't about, you know, me standing up in front of you and talking. If that was the case, there wouldn't be as many of you here. But instead, we have this great family of God that likes to come here and minister onto each other's needs. Amen? And to be used by God. That's what we are. We're just vessels for God Almighty. I don't know why when Diana was singing that song that I was wondering how many children probably tried to climb that tree that God grew for his son. Today's message is entitled The Glory Road. And if you'll take out your bulletins and inside, we have Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. And if you don't want to read out of that passage, you're free to open up your Bibles. But I just wanted to have it all printed out for you so you knew from whence I was speaking today and what's going on. Plus, all the scriptures that I'm going to speak on, today they're in your bulletin. Unlike last week when I was prompting you to read with me, please. And I was like, wow, not getting any cooperation here. It's all right here in your bulletin today. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. Now, there's a word for a city in here. And most of you would pronounce it how? Bethphage? I thought so too. And then I looked up in my Bible pronunciation. It's Beth-Fu-Gi. Beth-Fu-Gi. It's like Beth, B-E-T-H, F-U-H, dash, J-E-E. So as we read this, let's pronounce it correctly. As the disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the..." Come on, you got to shout this part, okay? They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of God, David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, shouting again, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of infants you have ordained praise? Bethphage on the Mount of Olives was just a very short distance from Jerusalem. Can you imagine your teacher of righteousness, the one who presented the Word of God in flesh, telling you as a disciple, as a follower, hey, go get a couple of donkeys, they're in that next town. Go get them and bring them here to me. So you're telling us to go rip some guy off of his donkey and it's full. Is that what I'm hearing, Jesus? Yeah, but don't worry. If anybody says anything to you, just tell them the master needs it, right? And all will be well with you. And so the disciples follow Jesus's command. They go into the town and they see the donkey with a foal right next to it. And they go up just as Jesus had told them to, and they start to untie the donkey and its foal. And of course, what happens? Hey, what are you doing? We've got laws again. You don't just come up and take somebody's property. The master needs it. Oh, take it. Take it. Now, some scholars, some biblical people who have studied scriptures didn't know if Jesus had set this up ahead of time or if this man was just influenced by the Spirit of God and allowed this miracle to happen that fulfilled what the prophet Zechariah said would happen. You see, this is another fulfillment of prophecy. Many that Jesus fulfilled in his life. Because Zion, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I don't exactly, I've tried to picture this, and maybe you can help me out with this. How does a person ride two animals at the same time? They can't? But it says that the disciples placed their cloaks on both of them and that Jesus rode on both of them because it says he sat on them. It doesn't mean just one of them. It means he sat on both of them. So in my mind, I started picturing Jesus kind of sitting on the foal with his arms just kind of laid back on mom. You know, just kind of like a couch, almost. What do you think? You have any ideas on that? Because you got to understand, this foal had never been ridden before. And we don't even know if the donkey had been ridden before. But Jesus mounts them. It doesn't say, and then a rodeo pursued. It didn't say llamas were running in the streets. It just said Jesus sat on them, and then they proceeded into Jerusalem. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now we know, or at least some of us might know, some of us may not, donkeys can be rather stubborn. Right? And yet, these animals, there's nothing mentioned in there at all about them balking at what they were asked to do. Instead, I can almost picture the mother donkey with her head held high. I have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting upon me. The King of the daughter of Zion. And people are praising him. I can almost picture the donkey, because it's recorded in the Bible, donkeys talk. And I can almost picture the mother donkey looking at her foal and saying, come on, my child, let's do this well. And then as the shouts of the people started coming, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. How these donkeys didn't flinch. They just plodded along as they made their way up the dusty path, the roadway, uphill, going to Jerusalem, until they reached that crest where Jesus, riding on the donkey, could look upon Jerusalem. And he was overcome with weeping. Weeping for them. Because they had not accepted him as their Lord and Messiah. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, it says that the whole city was stirred. Let me ask you this question. Are people stirred up more when you enter a place or when you leave it? For Jesus, Jerusalem was stirred up. They wanted to know what was going on outside on the road there. People were putting down their robes, their very clothing on the road. They were putting down branches. They were doing whatever they could to bring praise and honor to Jesus, to show them that this, the King of Kings, was coming into his own. And this is one of the only places, in fact, it is the only place where Jesus did not stop them from giving him the praise and honor and glory due his name. In other times, people wanted to raise him, say, you are king. We need to get a crown for you. And Jesus quietly disappeared amongst them. He didn't want any of that attention, but this time, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he accepts the praise and the glory, because he is entering into one of the biggest spiritual battles that Jesus is facing in his lifetime. Doesn't it help to be bolstered up when you know that you're going to be facing some really bad things in life? When you have an upcoming surgery coming up, doesn't it help to have someone come alongside of you and to pray for you? When maybe you're having to file your taxes, and you might be struggling with that deadline. Oh, April 15th, I've got to have this money in. Isn't it great to have people come around you and say, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I need help with this. I want to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and I want to render unto you what is yours. But when we face times of troubles, and we know that they're going to come, isn't it great to hear people bringing praise to the Lord. Wednesday night, we kind of deflected off of our study that we've been doing. And it just seemed like that the people, well, it didn't just seem like it. People were showing up and they had needs. They had some struggles that they were going through. And as we open up the Bible study every week with prayer, and people were just pouring out their hearts about what they were dealing with, that I just sensed, you know what? This is not a night of study. This is a night when we need to, as a church, come together and minister to each other's needs. And we had an old-fashioned prayer meeting. There you go. There's testimony right there. It was good, and it was powerful. And there was this blending together of souls caring about one another, actually being the church, coming together as one, caring about each other, lifting each other's needs up. And even someone who was there that didn't know that she needed prayer, but the Holy Spirit just kept bugging me and saying, you know what? Come on. You know you need it. And they would never give in until we finally surrounded them and prayed for them. And their spirits was lifted. Because we, as a people of God, took the time to care about each other. You see, that's the activity of a church. That's the real activity of a church. You know, we think a lot of times it's coming here on a Sunday morning and it's doing this worship ritual, and this is part of it. But in really doing church, it's about you and I experiencing our lives together, being knit together as a family unit, to lift one another up when we have needs, to encourage one another, to strengthen each other with the Word of God. That's what church really is all about. And that's the miracle of God. Because I say it's a miracle because you and I, we all come from different backgrounds and have different understandings, right? And praise God, you do not think like I do. I heard somebody secretly going, yes, Lord, thank you. Kind of like Brick on, the middle. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not like him. Jesus was allowing the people to shout. Why do we not think it's permissible in church to shout?
What do you mean, Pastor? You shout at me every week.
Shout back. I give you the freedom. Shout back. But not to me, amen, to the Lord. We feel free when we go to games, when we see events on TV. We don't have any problem yelling for our team. Why do we get so bound up when it comes to Jesus? After all, he released us from our sins. Amen? He has given us the gift of eternal life. Why shouldn't we give out a shout to him? Why shouldn't we lift up our voices in praise and adoration? It's just what a church does. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Guess what, people? There are still people in our city today asking, "Who is this Jesus that you represent? Are you prepared to answer him?" What do the people of Jesus' time say? "Well, this is, I'll give you another chance. Shout out his name. This is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, wasn't there a man who made a comment, "Nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth"? Right? And then he ends up becoming one of his disciples. And here are the people answering the crowds. "Who is this? Who is this? What's all this shouting? What's all this clamor?" "Well, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the prophet." Now, why would that stir an excitement in Jerusalem? Because they had been without a prophet for over 400 years. And so to finally have a prophet coming into their presence would bring great joy and adulation and wonderment. Oh, what's the great prophet going to bring to us? What news from God are we going to finally hear? Jesus, riding on the donkeys. No, don't go there, Don. Low rider. I mean, he was on the foal. It was a little bit shorter than a regular sized donkey. Just saying. Sorry. Shouldn't have gone there. My wife will tell me later. Or you can write me, you know, "Pastor, no, shouldn't have gone there." But Jesus comes in, and it doesn't say what happens to the donkey or the foals or what happens to all this crowd, except we know that the children are still streaming after him and yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna," because Jesus makes his way into the temple area. And with all this adulation, with all this praise, he comes in and he sees this area of chaos going on. Money changers. Those selling animals for sacrifice. And they weren't just selling animals and exchanging money. They were ripping people off. They were charging, when they would come in with a different currency than what the Jews had, they would steal from them. They would take advantage of them not knowing. Have any of you ever gone to a foreign country and had your currency changed and you kind of wondered, did they really give me what my money was worth? Well, you can rest assured that the people coming into this temple area, they were not getting what their money was worth. And Jesus saw all of this going on. In this temple area, which was supposed to be an area of preparation for people to come into the presence of God, there was buying and selling, and Jesus lost it. Now, this is not the first time Jesus enters the temple area and loses it. Very early on in his ministry, he goes into the temple area, and these people are in there then. And he overturns their tables and drives them out. In fact, he even made a whip the first time and drove them out with all their animals, because he is burdened that his father's house should be a place that's sacred to the people that are coming there to worship, which is what tonight's focus at 5 o'clock is going to be about. It's coming together and praying together as a church that this house would be kept sacred to God, and that this house as well be kept sacred unto God. It says, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and benches of those selling doves. And he says, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. My house will be called a what? A house of prayer. A house that people come together to do one thing, and that's to seek God's presence. Together. Together. It's kind of lonely here during the week. And there are times when I either tap on Shirley's door or I just go over and say, you know what? I'm going to be in the sanctuary alone for a while. And she knows to hold my calls and to keep anybody from coming to see me. And I come in here, and it's such a blessed place to be. And I fall on my face before the, well, I don't really fall. I actually calmly get down on my face before the Lord and just call out to him that his blessings would continue to be upon this church and its people. And I pray for us. I pray for us that we as a people would walk closer with each other and closer with God. You see, because that's exactly what Jesus prayed for in John 17. Lord, may they be one as you and I are one, so that the world may know that you sent me. You see, if we come and we have divisions and we have fighting amongst us, or we have harsh feelings about one another, that's not God's heart, it's not God's desire. He wants us to be one. How can we be at one if we have differences among us? And guess whose job it is to make sure that these things get taken care of? The persons who have been offended. They are the ones that are supposed to go to the one who has offended them and say, you know what? We need to work something out here. Because to each of us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's as if God were making his plea to the world in and through us. And if we're not reconciled to one another in the body of Christ, then there is unrest. And we actually keep the blessing of God from being here in this place. Do any of you want that? I certainly don't want it. I don't desire it. Now, do I like confrontation? Let me see the hands of the sickos that like confrontation. Are you kidding me? There's a sicko over here. Pray for him. His name's Michael. We as people of God should not like confrontation. Instead, we should like love a whole lot more. We should want to be, you know, loving each other. No matter what the differences are, love trumps our differences. Amen? My house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. And see, when Jesus cleared out that area, then what happened? When that temple area was cleansed, then what happened? It says the blind and lame came to him at the temple. And what happened? He healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, what were they shouting?
Hosanna
to the Son of David. What were these Pharisees, these chief priests, what were they? What was their reaction? They were indignant. Oh, tisk, tisk, what are you doing? Don't you know that some of our wages come from some of the profits that are made out here in this temple area? And you just drove all them out? And what is with all these children running around shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David? We're not giving you, assigning you that title. Why are these children doing that? And Jesus said to him, have you ever read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Anybody know that reference? Psalm 8, verse 2. It says it right out of there. And Jesus is, he's given it. He's the Son of David. So here I'm going to give you some of David's words right back at you. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Do you think it's important to God to hear our praises more than our grumblings? And yet, what are so much of the content of our prayers before God? Don't we grumble? Aren't we complaining rather than letting our tongues give praise and honor from the lips of children? And guess what? I don't care what your age is. You're a child to God. So from your lips, it's ordained that we are to praise our Lord. When we look at this trip into Jerusalem, and we think, is this really a glory road? Because this was leading up to this week, the Passion Week. And for the first time in 15 years of leading this church, I know that we have had Monday, Thursday foot washing and communion services because as a pastor, I believe that Jesus instructed us that we are to do those things and we are blessed if we do them, that we submit ourselves as servants to each other and to God. And I know that we've had Monday, Thursday, but this year I'm giving it a little more effort to render more praise and more worship to the Passion Week. And so tonight at 5 o'clock, I invite you to just come back and come to seek out God's face, to cleanse the temple. Why? So that the blind and the lame can come to this place and be healed. MASH. It's the acronym for our church. It's Ministering Aid to Suffering Hearts. It's where I feel that God has given this church a special focus, that we are to minister aid to suffering hearts. If your temple is not clean, if you've been tampering with the things of this world and you just need a little cleansing, or you might need a lot of cleansing, I'll leave the baptismal full. Just saying. Bring your own soap. But just come and seek the Lord with me tonight. It's not a demand. It's not a command. It's an invitation to draw nearer to God.